Steve and I are on the same basketball team against his son, but we still couldn't beat him, I don't think. But I'm really glad to be back here. It's a beautiful place. I was born in Texas, but my dad was in oil business out here at the Yates Field back in the 50s, but he left that and became a missionary. My mom and dad are still alive, 88 and 86 years old, working in Thailand. That's where I grew up. But I came back and joined the military. I went to Texas A&M University that way, I think. And after about 10 years in the military, in the Rangers and the Special Forces, I felt God's call, and Karen and I were married, and we started working in Burma. And for 24 years, we've been in Burma, and we're still, our main work is Burma. We have 70 relief teams there. But the last 3 years, we were also invited to help in Iraq and Syria. And I, you know, we've been to Afghanistan and Sudan. But the last 3 years, Iraq and Syria, helping people under attack by ISIS. And we take our teams from Burma. So that means we have our ethnic Asian medics and pastors from Burma in Iraq. And you can imagine the Iraqis like, who are these people? And I and most of them are short, even shorter than me. And so I introduced two of my medics to the Iraqis. This one is Slowly, that's his real name. And this one's Silverhorn. And the Iraqi general says, no, Tom and Jerry, two mice. But our medics are, they're small in stature, but they're like lions. They're brave and they love Jesus and they're humble and they're great in the field. So when the shooting happens, pop, everybody's worried and our ethnic guys are smiling, running around. So that's who we work with. My wife and kids are with me. And the last 8 months we were in Mosul, in the battle for Mosul, all the way around. And I would be at the very front with our medics from Burma and a couple of foreign volunteers giving medical care and trying to be ambassadors for Jesus among the Muslims there. And Karen and the kids would be maybe half a mile behind me at what we call a casualty collection point. That's, if you imagine, Midland was under attack and down there it was heavy fighting. Maybe this church would be the sanctuary, literally and figuratively. You'd bring wounded here and doctors would be treating them here. Families that run away would hide back over there and get food and water before they were sent on to a refugee camp. That's where my family would be. And then I would be with my team at the front. But the title of the sermon is Jesus Changes Hearts. And when I first went to Iraq 3 years ago from Burma, I remember asking God how to pray. And so I prayed, one, ISIS would be stopped. Second, the Kurds and others would be free. And if you look at the news now, there's a big turmoil about that. And the third was the hearts of all enemies would change in Jesus' name. And I was thinking of not just ISIS against everybody, but Kurds against Iraqis and Kurds against Kurds and all the hate that was there. But the first heart that changed when I and my family went into Iraq was mine. And I didn't realize that for a couple of months till I realized, man, I love the Iraqis. You know, we invaded them twice and they didn't have a great reputation in my mind. And so I went to help them because Jesus sent me. But I didn't really, couldn't say I loved them. But as I was with them, as I saw them risk their lives for each other, as I saw them lay down their lives for their enemies' children, you know that ISIS is mostly Sunni and the Iraqi army is mostly Shia. So there's an underlying conflict already without even ISIS. And ISIS is on top of that. And as the Iraqi army drove ISIS out of Mosul and ISIS began to die, ISIS families would run for their lives, and then ISIS would shoot them down. And Iraqi soldiers would run out to risk their lives to save the children of ISIS. That's pretty amazing. And I asked them, why'd you do that? And they said, well, Allah teaches us to be merciful. But second, if we don't help our enemies' children, we will fight forever in this country. And this is not just talk. We lost 70% of our unit. We had 105 tracked armored vehicles when we started. We had 12 when we finished. The last battalion I was with started with 500. We had 27 men left. That's it. The Americans are there behind us and up in the air providing air support, but on the ground it's the Iraqi army fighting street by street. So in the middle of that, Jesus changed my heart to love the Iraqis. But later on, he changed my heart in another way, which I didn't expect. Because we're in the front, we had a lot of death around us. I picked up many dead kids. One guy I picked up, he was shot in my arms. I tried to save a woman and she's shot as we're treating her, and she dies. And I saw a lot of death. I had 30 close friends killed. I was shot myself. My translator was killed. One of my team members was shot. In all that, I did not hate ISIS people. I just prayed for them. But one day, we'd liberated one part of town, and a 3-year-old girl came up and was grabbing my leg. "Ameriki, Ameriki!" So happy she was free. And I was so happy. And I turned to my pastor, his name is Monkey, he's from Burma, and said, "What a great day. We're part of liberating this part of the city." 30 minutes later, this family tried to go somewhere else, and ISIS blew them up, killed the little girl. And we got to them, got the casualties out. We could not save the girl. I started crying. We all started crying. You know, we see death every day, but sometimes something just breaks your heart more. And that's what this little girl did. So I turned to Monkey, my pastor, and said, "You know, that's it. No more dead kids." Along with sharing the gospel of Jesus and giving medical care and help as we can, and my family handing out water in the back, I'm going to hunt down ISIS. Not because I'm a Superman, because it's just wrong. I'm done. And I said, "Monkey, you think that's right? That's justice. It's justice." And he said, "I think so, but let's ask God." So I said, "Lord, what is it?" That night, I went to sleep. Before I went to sleep, I said, "Lord Jesus, show me the truth of what happened today." And I prayed. I went to sleep. Woke up at 5:30 the next morning, rolling again against ISIS. I pick up my Kindle and I pray, "Lord, what do I read?" Boom. And it was, "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay."
Whoa.
What I call justice was vengeance. And I don't know, Steve, the difference between the two. That I'm going to ask a pastor like you to figure out for us. But what is the difference between justice and vengeance? We're called for justice, and we're told not to take revenge. But what I called justice the day before, I knew it was revenge when I read that scripture. That's the power of the God's living word. And I said, "Jesus, forgive me." And he took it off me. And I had no idea I was carrying that weight. Most of the sins I do in my life, I know pretty soon what I'm doing. I had no idea this was on me. But he took it away from me. And I went up with the Iraqis again, right back into battle. And I thought, I'm light and free. I thought, I don't have to fight anybody. I don't have to kill anybody. I don't have to make anything right. I just have to be an ambassador for Jesus. Just follow him. And so these two are two ways Jesus changed my heart. One is to love the Iraqis, and the second was not to hate, not to take revenge. And so if any of y'all are struggling with any of that, just ask Jesus to help you. It was like, I didn't have to go to therapy or nothing. It just was, boom, gone. My sin, gone. So, but it wasn't just my heart that was changed. When we first started working there, the Iraqi soldiers, some of the generals, looking at me like, "Who are you? Why are you here? You're Americans." And didn't really like us. But as we worked together and lived together and shared a lot of things together, at the very end, the Iraqi general came to me, General Mustafa, and he said, "I know you don't want to go back to America. You want to stay with us because we need help and we love you. We hope you never leave." When the battle against ISIS started, I prayed to God for help. This is what the general said. And look what he sent. An American Christian. But he answered my prayer. "I know God sent you. Go back and tell the Americans, we love you. Please love us." And he said, "Thank you for showing us what it means to follow Jesus." Wow. That's an Iraqi general change. My driver of a Humvee, as the battle went on, I had a vehicle, regular ones, they don't work there. And then someone gave me an armored one and it got shot up while we were in it, but it stopped the bullets. Then they gave us a Humvee, and we had two Humvees shot to pieces. But my first Humvee, I had an Iraqi driver who's a Muslim. And he's there, and the day after, before Easter this year, he said, "You know what I did last night, Dawood?" They call me Dawood Shingali. That's David of Sinjar. "I asked Jesus into my heart."
"You did?"
"Yes." "Why'd you do that?" "Oh, I'm tired of all the Muslim rules. And I asked Jesus into my heart, and he came in my heart."
Wow.
1 month later, we're in the battle of Northwest Mosul, pushing in the city with the Iraqi army. And we pushed 4 blocks in, and ISIS pushed us 4 blocks back. And heavy counterattack, and we lost 30 people right away. We lost 4 track vehicles, 2 tanks were blown up right in front of us. My vehicle was shot up. I'm running out trying to get casualties in. And finally, they're shooting civilians. We rescue one family, go back for 2 more people, And as he put the father in the vehicle, he shot again in my arms. I stuff him in the vehicle. The daughter shot in the face, right in the eye, but she's alive. Put her in the vehicle. And now my vehicle's so shot up, it can't move, and just rolls down between three buildings, and ISIS is there shooting, just picking our vehicle apart. So Muhammad, the new believer, runs through enemy fire and gets another Humvee. Very brave. Comes back and parks behind our Humvee. I've got in the driver's seat. I'm trying to make the vehicle run, but it still won't move. And the doors open on what we thought was the safe side. We're going to get the casualties from the safe side into the new Humvee that Muhammad brought. Muhammad's the new believer. But when that door opens, ISIS is closing in on this side. And my medic, the one named Slowly, or Tom and Jerry, he gets shot three times, but none of the bullets enter his body. They bounce off his gear, and they hurt him just a little bit. He dives back in the Humvee. Shaheen, my translator, steps out to pull the girl to move her into the good Humvee. He gets shot in the stomach and falls down. Muhammad, the new believer, runs to Shaheen, hail of gunfire, that's the right word, and gets shot eight times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Does not fall down. This is 556, M16. And picks up Shaheen and drags him into the good Humvee and takes him off. Passes out the casualty collection point and they get evacuated. I was still in that vehicle for 30 more minutes until we got an Iraqi tank to shove us, get us out of there. That was the beginning of the day. And it just went on and on and on like that. 10 days later, Shaheen, my translator, died in the hospital. 12 days later, there was a break in the action. I called Muhammad, and I said, Muhammad, he's alive, shot eight times. Muhammad, you're in the hospital, how are you? He said, oh, I'm very happy. How are you happy? He said, Jesus in my heart. Wow, you can't make that up. This is what Jesus does, changes hearts. And what happened when he became a follower of Jesus? He gets shot eight times, still alive. And he told me that when I was shot, my sister found out about it and told me from Baghdad that when you were shot, a man in white came to me, holding you and saying, it's okay, I have your brother. Really happened. I was like, wow. So, as the Battle of Mosul went on, ISIS began killing more and more of their people. And one day, they'd shot about 150 people in one street, a four-lane highway, and they controlled it. And you couldn't get any armored vehicles down it, you couldn't get people across it. And as civilians tried to flee, they began to shoot them down. And we treated a lot of the wounded that survived, but I went out and looked in the street, and they shoot at you if you looked out in the street, and I saw living among the dead. And I saw two men alive and three kids in the morning of 2 June. And looked out there, and I thought, man, how do we get to the living? It's just 150 yards of open ground swept by fire. And I prayed, and it took the whole day of praying and talking to the Americans. I'm 56. I'm 57, actually, yesterday. And the good thing about being my age, if you're in the Army, you're a general. And so my friends now that stayed in are generals. So I called them on this phone, and I said, man, we need help. We got a bunch of civilians killed. There's still some living. Can you drop smoke? And I went back and coordinated with the Iraqis. Americans drop smoke. Iraqis give us tanks. And we'll run behind them and try to save these people. In the end, we got the smoke. We got one tank. And that was a brave crew, because every armored vehicle that went down that road was blown up. And so we prayed, and we ran down behind this tank, got to the corner of the road, and looked at the living. By now, two of the kids had been killed. Only one kid was left. She's hiding under her dead mother's hijab, the scarf, like this. And two men were alive, and we went to help them. And I remember praying, Jesus, help me, and thinking, if I die doing this, my wife and kids will understand, because it's for a child. And I'd want someone to save my child. So I want to show you that little clip. Some of you may have seen it. It's called The Rescue the Girl. So we went back and got two men that were left. We lost one man, he was shot and killed. One of my guys, a volunteer, one of the guys shooting is a brand new volunteer just out of the SEALs, one of the guys out of the Marines, said, hey, can we help? I said, yeah, we need medics. and they came as medics, but that day, they ran with me to help save those people. We saved the girl and one man. And the girl now, we found one living aunt in Baghdad. And we hope to go back and see them in about 10 days. The next day, after that rescue, the Iraqi army came to me and said, when you rescue that girl, there were people in the rubble in the building ISIS controls that saw you, and they want you to come and help them. There's 4 or 5 living people. And there was a woman who shot, but her phone worked, and she's laying there in the ISIS building among the dead people saying, ISIS doesn't know we're alive, come and get us. And I thought, no way. Because to go into that building, you gotta go into ISIS building, you have no smoke, no tank, you're not gonna make it. And the Iraqi soldier with me, a Muslim guy, and you know, greater love hath no man than this, he laid down his life for his friends. There is no criteria for that. I saw the Muslim do it again and again and again. Wow, that's love. God is love. And he says, if no one goes to help me rescue, I'll go alone. And he asked me, who are you? Who am I? I said, well, he said, are you a soldier or a doctor? That's the only categories he had. I said, well, I'm not a doctor. I guess I'm an old soldier. But I'm really an ambassador of Jesus. So I said, let's pray to Jesus. So we pray. Okay, we go. And as we went in, we had to creep through the rubble of this building. ISIS is right on the other side. We had to be very quiet. And we're being quiet, and I'm praying. And as we prayed, I thought of the church and people who pray for us. And I knew, you know, people talk about the power of prayer. I could feel it. I could feel the power of prayer helping us go. I thought, man, I'm not alone. And thank God for people who sent me emails like, be bold, not be careful. You know, when you're scared, no one needs to tell you be careful. You're already like, don't want to be there. I did not want to be there. Be bold. All right, if Jesus sent us, then be bold. And the thing I told Steve in the beginning, if I had to stop talking right now, it's this. When Jesus sends you somewhere, you never go alone. He goes with you. So if he's with you, be bold. So I'm bold, like, oh, and we're quietly going along, and we come to a big open space inside this factory that ISIS controls, full of empty Pepsi cans. I'm like, God, you got to be kidding me. How can we get across this without making noise? You can't. So God, if you're the God that parted the Red Sea, or you're not. You're the God that brought down Jericho, or you're not. So I'm going to believe you are. And help ISIS not hear us. In Jesus' name. And we ran across the cans. 8 of us. Loud as anything. ISIS is shooting the whole time. But not at us. It's shooting at other people. We get to an open courtyard. And then I realize, no way. Now we got to cross a courtyard that ISIS is all around. They look down. They just shoot us. Because we're in their area. And this time, I had nothing left. And so I just said, how can I pray, Jesus? And the battle that we really have is against powers and principalities, not flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is real, but the deeper one is the spiritual war. And we had no way to physically fight this particular war. So I said, Jesus, can I use your name? Yes. In Jesus' name, Satan and demons, back off. ISIS, you cannot see, hear, or stop us. You have no authority. We are here to rescue these people in Jesus' name. And if you don't like my prayer, talk to Jesus, because he's in front of us. And we ran, and they didn't see us. We got 4 people, including the woman that called. She'd been shot in the back of the leg. She's laying like this. Gathered them up, and there was a little girl amongst them, another little girl, whole family dead, just kind of looking like this. And we looked out in the street, and in the street, there was another woman, the 5th person, hiding amongst a bunch of dead bodies and behind a car. So ISIS couldn't see her. And I thought she was dead, and she waved at me like this, help me. And I was like, no way. If we go out in that street, not only we die, but the 4 people we're trying to rescue, they're dead. God, just take her life. Just take her to heaven. She's been shot for 3 days, no water, 100-something degrees in Iraq. How is she still alive? And I said that horrible prayer, Lord, just take her, because we can't get her. And then I thought again, well, no way we can get her, but God can. So I grabbed Zuhair, this Iraqi private's hand, and I just said, God, help. In Isa's name, in Jesus' name, God help. And right when I said the prayer, Zuhair looks up and goes, and he has to whisper. We look at the wiring on the building that we're right here. ISIS is about right there, a little further back, but that's the attitude. And this building's in the way, and they can't see us, but the lady's here. And we get the wiring down, we cut it, and Zuhair gives it to the little girl, and the little girl runs out about 15 yards and throws the wire about 15 more yards. And the ISIS shoots, kapop, kapop. They can barely see the little girl. And runs back. They don't get her. This woman ties the wire around her wrist, and we start pulling her in. And you can see that video is called Dragging the Lady.
She's been
shot for 3 days.
Hang in there. Hang in there.
The angle she's at, ISIS can't see her.
I'm getting this lady out. She's just laying there.
Tell me.
A little bit more.
Kamnish.
One more. Easy.
Shh.
Easy.
So as she was being drug in, she said, God, thank you. You never let me go. I called on your name, God, and you didn't leave me. And she looked me in the eyes and she said, thank you, brother. You didn't give up on me. And you know how close, I'm going to start crying. How close I was to leaving her. With man, there was no way. But God showed us a way. And so I'm going to wrap this up with whatever we're facing in life. And finally, the battles are all the same. In Iraq, it's guns and bullets. Here, that's not so legal. But we got other kinds of enemies and other kind of battles. I have one in my own heart every day. Who am I going to follow? But I just know this. God sent Jesus to die for us. And while we're still sinners, he died for us. And God will give us the power we need to walk holy lives and keep asking forgiveness and keep being clean and help other people. And it's by his power. And it's by his name, Jesus. And it's changed the Iraqis. It changed me. It changes the world. So I'm grateful to be able to come back and report to y'all. I have a prayer request. In about 10 days, we're supposed to go back to Iraq, but they've shut the airspace into Kurdistan. So either we punt and go later, or God opens another way. So, thanks, Steve.